One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Today's episode of Expanded Perspectives is sponsored by Gaia.com. Help find your own truth by exploring perspectives you won't find in the mainstream on some of life's biggest mysteries. Whether it's grand conspiracies, breakaway societies, UFOs, ancient civilizations, lost wisdom, as well as the paranormal, all at your fingertips. Stream videos anywhere from your living room or on the go with the Gaia app, available through the App Store or Google Play.
You'll have access to over 7,000 titles, all available to you with a monthly plan for only $9.95 a month. If you sign up now, your first month is only 99 cents. There are multiple plans to choose from, including a three-month plan and an annual plan. Gaia has one-of-a-kind shows like Truth Hunter, Buzzsaw, Cosmic Disclosure, Beyond Belief, Missing Links, Hidden Origins, and Deep Space, Unearthing Nazca, and False Flags.
Gaia is available on your Android or iPhone, Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV. If you enjoy expanding your perspective, then you'll enjoy Gaia.com. GAIA.com/expanded perspectives. All one word, GAIA.com/expanded perspectives.
And this episode of Expanded Perspectives is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And Dollar Shave Club. They make and deliver the grooming products you need to look, feel, and shave like $1 million. Let's start the show.
Everybody, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and of course, I can't leave out Es Mi Amigo sitting across the table over here. He's working on his disc golf form, folks. It's Kyle Filio Filson.
How's it going, everybody? I'm excited to be here in beautiful Weatherford, Texas, inside Skeleton Studios, ready to broadcast. I've been having a good time this weekend, bud.
You've been busy. It's been hard to get a hold of you today. And I thought I was busy, but you've been busy bouncing around.
I've been busy doing all types of things. We had a baseball tournament that was canceled. I wasn't mad about that. Didn't have to do that. But instead, my day got filled up with other things. My wife had a baby shower to go to. She took the littlest bud, Luke. So it was me and the big boys. And I rented a carpet cleaner because one of the big boys, Caleb, from time to time, gets migraine headaches. And he got sick last night, middle of the night, and threw up all over his floor. So
I was like,
that's awesome. You couldn't have, you know, made it to the rest of the house has tile.
Yeah.
Or the bathroom. He's like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'll give it to you. You get one free pass. It's happened to everybody. But so I started shampooing all the rugs in the house. And that pretty much took almost all day.
Yeah.
So That's what I've been up to. What have you been up to? I know you've been playing golf this morning.
I played a couple of rounds of disc golf. Had a great time doing that. Everybody too, all you KGRA listeners, thanks for tuning in. You get to hear Kyle talk about a throw-up story, so that's always good.
Yeah.
All you fans of the show, thanks for tuning in for a little throw-up story and some disc golf stories. I got something I got to share with you. I was texting Kyle Friday. I went down south of where we live, about an hour or so, is a town called Burleson, Texas. And I went down to Burleson for a football game because my daughter's in the spirit group that gets on the field and goes crazy down there. So they went to the away game. So my wife and I decided to ride down there with them, her and her friends. And then we would run around town while they were there at the football game. So we go to this restaurant down there that's called Babes. And when I say Babes, anybody that's been to them, there's only like three or four of them in the area. And they're family owned and they're just, it's home cooking food. And it's
fantastic.
It's fantastic food. So we get done eating there and we're walking around. And I come into a little store that I didn't even know was down there. And it's called Geek Out. This isn't an ad for Geek Out or anything. I'm just telling y'all, I walked in here. It's a big comic book shop. And in there, they had a bunch of Dungeons and Dragons stuff.
That's cool.
And I start taking pictures, and I start sending Kyle pictures. And then there's dudes in the back. There's groups of guys. People are all in there. Girls, guys, young and old. I mean, there is tables set up, and there one group's playing Dungeons and Dragons. One group's playing Magic the Gathering. They're just going hard down there. I mean, it is wild. And it hits me, it dawns on me how much I've missed, and what we keep talking about is playing Dungeons and Dragons, bro, and we are going to have to do it again.
That's pretty cool. I know that we had talked with Lyle Blackburn and Nick Redfern, and they said they were a game that they used to like to play, and they would like to play. So maybe we'll set up a really
Micah. Micah wants to DM it. He wants to dungeon master the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
He'd be a really good one.
He'd be a really good dungeon master.
He would be a really good dungeon master.
Yeah.
But I saw a video, and I had sent to you because it spoke to us about the whole thing. And I can't pronounce his last name. But anyhow, it's the fellow that plays Owlseed. Ray, what's his name? Mogliano or
something like that. Yeah, from the series True Blood.
From the series True Blood, yeah. And then he's been, I'm not even going to give you his name, in Magic Mike and all that. Because my wife's had a crush on that dude since the minute he stepped foot on the set of True Blood. But anyhow, he has a video on YouTube where he's talking about when he grew up playing, when he was talking or growing up, first listening to The Hobbit. And he talks about something I remember having is the little records that went on your record player.
Yep.
And you would listen to it and it would chime and you would turn the page.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, he wore it out. I had the same Hobbit record as a child.
You know, what's funny is I forgot about those records existing till he told that story. And I was like, oh,
yes,
I remember that.
Exactly. That is that adventurous side. As you listen to that video, folks, it is for all of you, and it's true. When Kyle and I were kids, it wasn't cool to be a nerd. It wasn't okay to, you had to keep this, like, you didn't want anybody to know, man, that this is what you did.
And not just that, there was like a negative connotation to it too, like you're a devil worshiper.
Satanic panic of the 80s is what we went through while you played Dungeons and Dragons.
And like people used to, you know, my mom would be like, well, it's okay, I don't mind, because she looked over the books and stuff. She'd be like, but just don't tell anybody you play. And I was always like, well, why? I don't understand. Well, you know, there's people that think it's satanic, and there couldn't be anything further from the truth. There's nothing satanic about rolling dice and pretending you're going to cast a spell on something.
No. I love it. And after seeing all that stuff, dude, I am full on board. We got to get it going. We got to get the whole thing worked out. We will get Lyle and Nick in studio, and we'll all play together. What we may have to do is pick a spot to set up and play, but we will all get together, and we'll play Dungeons and Dragons.
That'd be cool.
That would be great.
I picture Nick Redfern wearing like a big wizard's robe
as
like
a mage.
Like he shows up in full regalia. I mean, like he's ready not only to play, but he has to look the part.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we all should. We should all dress the part, get our figurines, get everything going the Raoul Partha. What's funny is in the video at one point, Ray talks about Dwarven Forge, and he said while he's shooting the video, he said, I have 70 pounds of Dwarven Forge like buildings to go home and unpack and set up.
Oh, so
you should have seen the look on everybody on his face, y'all.
That's what, like, if I ever went to Comic-Con and ran into that guy, I'd probably be walking home with a bunch of that stuff.
Oh,
too,
yeah,
right?
Dude, I would have to, I'm gonna selfie it up if I get all that. But enough of the D&D talk, folks. We'll get to going on this thing forever and ever. Y'all are tired of hearing this, but this is something I found now I think y'all are going to enjoy. If there's any upside to any sort of heavy rainfall and flooding and the madness that went on in Florida, Several months ago, you all remember I reported on them finding a canoe in Louisiana.
I remember that.
And they found it like half sticking out of a
creek. It was like a creek. They were fishing or something. They found it. Yeah.
Out of a creek bed. And it was a dugout, an old dugout canoe. This comes from the Pensacola News Journal. All right.
Yeah.
Ancient canoe uncovered by Hurricane Irma being evaluated in Brevard County. Here we go. Freelance photographer Randy Lathrop was riding his bicycle up and down Indian River Drive Monday and said, like he does every week, when he discovered something extremely unique. Now, left lying on the bank of the Indian River in Brevard County, among all the other debris and displaced things left behind by Hurricane Irma, was a piece of history in the form of what he says is some sort of ancient canoe. This is what he was quoted saying. I immediately took a photo and sent a text to my friend who's an archaeologist. It says that the canoe had remnants of red and white paint chips on portions of it, according to Lathrop. And he says this, that after an initial Google search, it'll tell you that Seminoles, the natives in that area, used red and white paint.
And they would paint their canoes?
It says there's also a small seat in the boat and square-headed iron nails used for its construction. And that the mooring, as front-end loaders, says that morning, he's talking about coming down the street, that he wanted to make sure he could get it out of the way. He wants to move the canoe out of harm's way. And he goes, but that's when we ran into some trouble. He says this thing had to weigh 600 or 700 pounds because it's water-soaked cypress.
Wow.
So it's basically a hollowed out, like a dugout canoe.
Yep.
Out of a cypress tree. So Lathrop and his buddy get a lift and they back into the canoe. They get it up and they get it up in the back end of their pickup, take it a few yards, says, but when they've taken a few yards, then that, I guess, just getting it out of the way of people driving, moving debris, because you could easily gather it up as a part of a tree or something like that. He just knew what he had after the text message.
Yeah.
They contact the Division of Historical Resources, and then the state sends down a regional archaeologist from Cape Canaveral, the Air Force station there, and he gets to inspect it over. He said that he didn't want to offer up concrete identification of this object, nor the specific time period it came from, but Lathrop said that he received permission from the state to cover the canoe and preserve it in a nearby freshwater pond until the state could get and provide further evaluation. And he says after that, the chances that it could be on public display. Now, he goes on to say that rumor has it may stay in this county for future public view. Now, he had posted this all up on Facebook saying that history saved for the public. And it was over 75,000 shares after he posted it.
Wow. Yeah. I'm surprised that the thing didn't rot away.
Well, I guess it was buried. And, of course, now you got to remember that, too. You've watched those guys dive down there on all those Discovery shows and pull up those logs. Once that cypress is soaked or whatever's in, and then it's underwater, it just is well-preserved.
Yeah, I guess so. You think it was something, if it dried out now, it would probably crack and fold to
pieces,
right?
That's why he put it in the water. He put it back in the water. I guess there's a way you probably have to take it out. Maybe there's a vacuum thing that they don't have to put, like a decompression chamber or something they can fill with some sort of filler. I don't know, but in order to keep it where they can have it on public display.
That is
interesting. It's great.
Well, speaking of water, and I know that you have a love for fishing, check out this fishing story. A guy named Arthur in Parlin, New Jersey, recently called into Coast to Coast and told a strange story. Now, check this out, Cam. He said, I have a little story that I don't know what to make of it. I'm in my late 50s now, and I grew up in New Jersey. My brother and I, and my brother's best friend, who turned out 30 years later, ended up marrying our sister. So, he became our brother-in-law. Now, my brother-in-law loves to fish. Heck, we all do. We would go fishing all the time, especially during the summer. His birthday was on the 4th of July, and we had an annual tradition we did each year on his birthday. We would take our poles, and we would go fishing. His father would take us to our favorite lake, drop us off, and we would fish all day, then hang around later to watch the 4th of July fireworks. Well, recently he passed away, but we didn't want to break tradition. We still wanted to go fishing on the 4th of July like we always do. So, we decided to continue our tradition in his memory, but this time we traveled down to Lake Okeechobee in Florida. There was a dozen of us there. We had 3 boats, and we got there, it was close to 100 degrees out. It was hot and very humid. So, then we decided that we were going to wait until it was nighttime to go out on the boat and fish when it would be a lot cooler. So, now we get out there and we're fishing. Now, granted, we had a couple of beers, but there's no alcohol amount in the world that could explain what happened next. What can you do if you're fishing for bass at night? Well, one tip is to try and use a topwater lure. So, That's what a couple of us were using.
Good tip.
Anyway, we're all just fishing and talking and having a good old time when my brother, who's at the back of one of the boats, says, turns around and says, wait a minute, stop. That's when he says, I'm snagged. And my buddy says, well, what the hell do you mean you're snagged? Which is, he's like, there's nothing out there. Well, you know, we're out about 75 yards from the shoreline, but there's no trees out here. No, nothing. He says, back up. I don't want to lose my lure. So we put the spotlight out and we're following his line. And in the meantime, his pole is bending as if there's a giant fish on the line that he's fighting with. So we get up there and he starts yelling, we're only a few feet away. Well, I'm looking and I can tell there's nothing there. There's no branches. Look, we're more than 75 yards from the shore, and there's no trees out here in the lake. But we can tell that it looks like his line is snagged on something above the water, not down in the water, like when you snag an underwater tree stump or a log or something. It's suspended above, just like he's snagged on a tree or something, only there's no trees out here. Well, we keep approaching as he reels in his line, and that's when we see it. The lure. We get up to the fishing lure, and it's maybe 5 feet off the surface of the water, and he's standing in the back of the boat, my brother. So it was probably just about level with him, and he's holding onto his line, and he's yelling, look at this, look at this. And we're like, hey, go ahead, grab it. He says, look at it. And we put the spotlight on it, and the lure is in midair, just hovering there, like it snagged some invisible tree or something. It had enough tension on it that he had about a 12 to 15 pound test line and the rod was bent over until we got all the way up to it. He says, look. He opened the barrel of his reel and we just backed up. We were in total amazement. He circled his hands like a magician to show that there was nothing there. There was nothing there, but it was still just hung in midair. The only thing that was attached to that lure was the line that was attached to his pole. He calmly plucked the lure out of midair and we went on fishing. I've never seen anything or even heard of anything like that in my entire life. The world is certainly a mysterious place. So what do you make of that? The lure is just frozen in space and time in midair.
Before you got to the part where he said he moved his hands around it, I've hung old fishing line in the water before.
Uh-huh.
Where some ass doesn't pick up after themselves, right, and it gets out in the water. And, you know, once it's been in there a while, of course, it will get extremely fragile, but it will get a tinge to it, like the algae grows on it, or shall I say algae grows on it. But when you pull it out of the water, lots of times, if you can't see that, it does look like something's just holding it out in the water, like it's floating. But you always see the line. You always, uh-huh, like, oh, there it is. You know, I'm caught up in a whole mess of stuff. I can't imagine. It's got tension, and he's moving his hands around it. I don't know why I'm moving my hands. Nobody can see it. But he's moving his hands around it. And there's nothing. How do you even hoax something as such?
I don't know. And there was a dozen guys there that all saw it.
Everybody.
Like it was literally hung to an invisible tree.
That is it snagged something in the matrix that we couldn't see.
Something
in the matrix got snagged. Well, as long as we're going to be talking about water, I'm going to go back to Florida's hurricane, bro.
Okay.
This comes from Cryptozoology News. You ever been there? Okay. Two women see Bigfoot after Florida's hurricane. Cedar Key, Florida. Now, as crazy it sounds, I was wondering this. You know, we talked about the wildfires that's going on up through like Montana and things. You think these wildfires, if there's all these Bigfoot sightings in certain areas, it always makes you wonder what happens when storms hit. You know, like we saw in Houston, people were helping whitetail deer, trying to get them loaded out of there because the floods hit them too, you know, and all this. So it makes you wonder about Bigfoot sightings. Where do they go? Well, two women in Florida claimed they saw an unidentified bipedal creature. The two sisters said that they were driving in daylight north of Cedar Key 1 week after Hurricane Irma on Saturday. It says here, Hurricane Herman on September 11th of 2016, when they spotted the Bigfoot-like creature crossing the highway. Said the surrounding area was reportedly flooded with standing water as a result of the hurricane. Now, this is what the sisters told the BFRO investigator, Sybil Irwin, says this. We were just coming out of the curve on the road when we saw it. It turned to look at us, then it disappeared in the woods. Now, what they described to Sybil was an 8-foot-tall creature, grayish and black hair covering its body. They said they were about 50 yards away from it. So that's awful close. You're going to get a good look. You're going to be able to tell it's probably not a bear.
Right.
They also estimate its weight between 500 and 700 pounds. Now, they believed this. They believed that this, what they were seeing, was an old, mature animal of whatever species it was. They also claim that, or they report that when they turned their vehicle around, they were going to go film this area where they thought that they had seen it, but they didn't have any footage. They didn't get a chance. So they were going back to try to just get their phones out. Too late. It was already gone. So there was, anyway, nobody else, as far as they could see, you know, this whole deal, had seen any of them. So the girls reported this whole thing to the Levy County authorities in that part. They call it on the cell phone. Now, according to that claim, the person on the phone says this, that they weren't surprised at all about the encounter in that area, and that they had even sent an officer out there some while previous to this to investigate a very similar call.
Hmm.
So,
very interesting.
When you call down to the sheriff's department or whoever you contact, and somebody there's like, yeah, we're not surprised. Are you not surprised because you got a car full of crazies? Is that what you're not surprised? People are crazy? Or are you not surprised because this is kind of a normal thing that they get phone calls on? I'm not saying it's a normal thing that people see it. It's a normal thing that they get phone calls on the regs in this area.
Yeah.
That's what because, you know, you see all those deer crossing signs and all that stuff, but there's got to be places where the big feets want to cross more than any of the others. You know what I'm saying? They got to be. Where they feel comfortable in those, you know, those ways along a creek, the ways along something like that. So there's got to be something along those lines.
Man, that is creepy.
Wild. Yeah, it's wild.
Here I got some more proof of the looming robot uprising. Check this out, Cam. Burger-making robot Flippy that cooks the perfect patty every time. Set to replace human workers in 50 California restaurants by 2018. They say it's a scenario that brings us one step closer to the robot-run world. Flippy, the artificial intelligence-driven robot that can cook the perfect burger every time, is set to replace human workers in 50 Cali Burger restaurant locations by 2018. Now, the California-based restaurant chain began testing the machine they call Flippy, which they say is an artificial intelligence-driven robot that can flip burgers on the grill, then replace them on a bun, and once they're done cooking, it alerts a human being that cheese is ready. Now, it is designed with a 6-axis robotic arm and cameras and sensors to see its environment. The robot's arm is fitted with a claw-like tool that opens at the end, allowing it to grab the patty on the grill and flip it over without ever dropping it. It's there, like I said, it has alerts where it alerts human workers when it's time to add the other condiments or cheese or pickles or other toppings, and its software lets it distinguish between different types of meats on the grill and what their cooking times are. A guy says, we are excited about the impact Miso's AI-based solutions will have for the restaurant industry. Humans will always play a very critical role in the hospitality side of the business. We just don't know what the new roles will be yet in the industry. Then the guy added that the robot will likely push workers out of their current jobs. Now, Flippy is the brainchild of Miso Robotics and can assist in the kitchen, flipping burgers and placing them on buns. Flippy is an AI-powered robot that works in tandem with kitchen staff. Now, Zito, who is this CEO of Miso, he told the Daily Mail in March that the company began testing the robot at a Cali Burger in Pasadena, and he said it functions as an assistant and intuitively knows when to flip the burgers and then places them on the buns when ready. So it's not going to be there by itself. It's not like this restaurant is going to be totally AI. It's going to be humans working alongside robots. But I guess there won't be people cooking the meat anymore. The robots are going to do that.
Okay. And then they alert you whenever it's time to add the cheese.
Cheese, toppings, condiments. Yeah.
So what you're telling me is the robots aren't smart enough to add cheese.
Dude, that's what I don't understand. Right. You can program it to cook all types of various types of meats, but yet adding toppings, condiments, and cheese, that's too difficult.
When you throw in semi-solid dairy products, it can't handle it.
Maybe not.
Hmm. That's good to know. So during the robot uprising, folks, just keep sliced cheese on you, and they won't be able to handle it. They won't know what to do.
I'm going to be looking for a Cali Burger when me and my wife go to California. We're going to be in California November 5th. And so I'm going to look for one. I've never been to
That's Cali
Burger.
That's probably not all you're going to look for while you're in Cali.
That's right. I'm going to be looking for Sasquatch. And I might have to get me some of those edibles.
Whoa, what?
What? Is anybody, is this thing on? All right, folks. Well, let's take a break. And after the break, I'm going to be getting into some strange and unusual Hawaii
tales and legends. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hawaii is a beautiful place, with lush scenery, a bright blue ocean, volcanoes, perfect weather, and wonderful people. But don't be fooled. There's definitely a dark side to this paradise. Now, we've explored many places from all over the world on this show, and the secret paranormal treasures that lie within each of these special places. But we haven't ever discussed the islands of Hawaii specifically. There are 6 major islands and a few smaller ones to visit when you're in Hawaii. There's Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, Lanai, Maui, and the island of Hawaii. Each island in the Hawaiian chain has a unique personality and offers visitors different types of experiences. And each island has its very own paranormal traditions. On today's show, we're going to explore some of these strange legends. Let's start with some local folklore. There are various stories pertaining to the rocky relationship between the Hawaiian lava goddess, known as Pele, and her hog-faced demigod lover, known as Kamapua. And one of them has spawned a bizarre urban legend by the Hawaiian people that basically boils down to one simple rule: never carry pork over the Pali Road. As the story goes, Pele and Kamapua had a turbulent friendship that was doomed from the start. Kamapua was the product of an affair between his mother and his mother's brother-in-law, and his stepfather named him Hogface and treated him cruelly. Kamapua grew up handsome, smart, and powerful, but all he longed for was his stepfather's acceptance. Kamapua's heart became filled with anger and hate, and he decided to change his appearance by tattooing his face and wearing a boar's face as a mask. He was then forced to flee his island due to the troubles he had intentionally caused on his stepfather's land. When Kamapua arrived in Hawaii, he heard of a gorgeous woman named Pele. So, he traveled to the south of the island to ask for her hand in marriage. Pele was so disgusted by his appearance that she fought to keep him away from her. Eventually, though, Pele yielded to his efforts and the two got married. Emboldened by her acceptance of him, Kamapuu's heart softened, and his appearance changed back to his natural good looks. Unfortunately, Pele was so confused by Kamapuu's sudden transformation that she pulled away from him and retreated to her side of the island, which was hot and filled with lava. Kamapuu was forced to live on the other side of the island, where it was wet and lush, and the two were forever separated. In the modern-day urban legend, attempting to carry pork over the Pali Highway, which connects Windward Oahu to Honolulu, will anger Pele and cause your vehicle to break down until you discard the pork. In other versions of the story, an old woman or even a white dog will appear, and you must offer the pork to them. The idea is that carrying pork from one side of the island to the other is symbolic of carrying part of Kamapuu into Pele's domain. Let's look at another one. First found in Japanese folklore, a muhina is a creature with no face that can shapeshift into human form. A famous Japanese muhina was named Kozo, and he took the form of a monk and traveled the dark roads at night asking strangers for water or even tea to drink. Japanese immigrants brought this folklore to Hawaii, and the old tale took on a new spin. In 1959, a woman was reported to have seen a muhina at a drive-in theater in Kahala. The local woman claimed that she went to use the restroom and noticed another woman combing her hair. Once close enough to see the other woman, she immediately noticed that the red-haired woman did not have any facial features. The woman was reported to have had a nervous breakdown and was treated at a local hospital. Now, originally, the locals thought that the story was just a rumor, but when local radio host Glenn Grant was discussing its validity on the air back in 1981, the woman made a personal phone call into the station and recounted her story, even adding that the muhina she'd encountered had red hair, a detail which had previously been unreported. Since then, countless stories of faceless muhina started emerging across the islands, some coming from Glenn Grant, the radio host himself. Another legend that's very interesting is known as the Waka Ipu. These, the Waka Ipu, are the spirits of ancient Hawaiian warriors who are eternally cursed to march through the islands of Hawaii. Known as the Night Marchers, they are said to march in a single line, often carrying torches and weapons, playing drums, and chanting. The Night Marchers rarely appear during the day, but when they do, it means they are escorting a living relative to the other side. The telling signs that Night Marchers are heading toward you are the sounds of drums getting closer and closer, the increasing of a foul odor, conch shells being blown, and approaching torchlight. It is considered an evil omen to look at the Night Marchers. So, to protect yourself, you must lie face down on the ground as a sign of respect. If they see you looking at them, the Night Marchers will kill you unless an ancestor recognizes you and claims you as their blood. Because no solid structure built on the Night Marchers' path can deter them, many locals tell stories of the Night Marchers going through their homes and leaving fear in their hearts. One of my favorite legends surrounding the Hawaiian Islands is the Menehune. Everybody knows I'm a big fan of little people, fae folk, duendes, trolls, gnomes, whatever. If you're listening to the show, you're probably a big fan too. Well, that's exactly what the Menehune are. The Menehune, also known in ancient text as the Naweo, are the Hawaiian versions of fairies or leprechauns. The Menehune are short in stature, about 2 to 3 feet tall, and dwell in lush forests away from civilizations. The Menehune are said to be stout, with muscular frames covered in hair. They are said to have broad shoulders, a pot belly, and faces possessing long eyebrows on a protruding brow. Some have sharp ears and large-looking intelligent eyes. The Menehune are said to be nocturnal, living in caves deep within the forest during the day, and to communicate via a series of grunts and growls. They are supposedly masters of mimicry able to even copy the language of humans, although it is unclear if they grasp the meaning behind the words. In some folkloric traditions, they are even said to be able to communicate telepathically. That's right, you heard me. Telepathically. They're often portrayed as mischievous, but they also possess supernatural abilities to build or to construct anything they desire within a single day. They are known as master builders. They were often hired by the native Hawaiians to build homes, temples, and places of worship. They are very shy people and prefer to work at night when no one else is around. If they are caught in the act, they will drop whatever they're doing and disappear, never to finish their work. And if you're the person who interrupts them, you'll be turned to stone. Now, these little people were credited for building the largest aquaculture reservoir on the island, Alakoko Fish Pond, on Lihu, near the Niwiliwili Harbor. Some historians believe that the story of the mythical Menehune could be based on reality. The theory is that the Menehune were real people from Marquesas Island, who migrated to the island of Hawaii before it was inhabited by the Tahitians. It is believed that the Tahitian immigrants forced the Menehune to retreat to the deeper part of the forest in an effort to survive. If you hear a sound of splashing near the beach or a waterfall at night, it's said to be coming from a Menehune. Apparently, one of their favorite pastimes, besides playing pranks on islanders, is diving. Although it seems as though the Menehune must be totally mythical constructs, there have been numerous alleged sightings of the diminutive beings that have continued right up into modern times. One of the most well-known such sightings was made by a group of 40 school children and their teacher, a George London, in the 1940s near the Waimea Parish property. According to the report, the group spotted several of the creatures jumping around in some trees near the property. And when they realized they were being watched, the enigmatic beings silently dispersed into the wilderness and into openings that led below the church's foundations. Although no sign of any such openings, tunnels, or caves could be found with later investigations of the area. Another interesting report relayed by a caller during an appearance by cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman on Coast to Coast AM in May of 2006 described an encounter the woman had with the creatures when a group of 20 of them passed in front of her car as she was driving along a remote road. Now, in this case, they were described as little hairy humans, 3 feet tall and each covered in slightly different colored hair. The woman claimed to have actually hit one of the creatures and later found that there was a dent in her car and a few strands of reddish hair left behind. But she no longer had the hair for analysis. In yet another report, a man known only as Arnold S. claimed that he had been relaxing on the beach with some friends on a dark night and around 11 p.m. when he heard the bushes nearby begin to shake violently. The group of friends then dashed towards their car and noticed that a group of little wild people were running across the road towards them before driving off in a great haste. Indeed, there have been many sightings of these strange creatures over the years, and there has been some debate as to over what they might be. One theory is that they may represent an actual race of dwarves or pygmies, perhaps predating the arrival of the first known Polynesian settlers of the islands. Now, another popular theory is that these miniature humanoids could have some relation to the Flores hobbits, you know, Homo floresiensis, a small race of hominids whose remains have been found on the Indonesian island of Flores and which are thought to have still existed just 12 to 13,000 years ago, making them contemporaries of human ancestors and suggesting the possibility that they may still live in some remote areas of the Pacific. Indeed, there are several Pacific islands where there are long traditions of sightings of miniature hairy wild men. So, perhaps these early humanoids had a larger range than previously thought. In addition to the tiny dwarfish Menehune, there have also been reports in Hawaii of something more similar to the hulking mainstream image of Bigfoot. That's right, Bigfoot in Hawaii. Who would have thought? In 1973, a 35-year-old Rob Carlson reported that he had a curious and frightening encounter while out fishing for catfish with a friend in Whitmore Village by the Wahiawa Mountains. Now, according to the account, the two had just finished setting up some catfish traps and were preparing to go home for the night when they heard an otherworldly howl blast forth from the surrounding wilderness, which sounded, they said, like a wild man. At first, they thought it was a joke being played on them by some of their friends, but as the wailing intensified, they ran away in a panic. As the two friends ran down the hill, along a trail, they reached a curve in the path, and it was then that the source of the alien howling made itself known. Now, according to Carlson, a huge 7 to 8 foot tall, hairy female creature, naked, except for a cloth around the waist, lumbered into view. Carlson would describe the escalating chaos as, "I tell you, he was coming right for us. So, we turned and ran back to the river." As he stumbled down the side of the embankment, a giant woman stepped out from behind a tree. She must have been at least 7 feet tall. Now, the friends reportedly made their way home, where they were unable to sleep, with all that had happened weighing heavily on their minds, I suppose. When they awoke the next morning, they allegedly went back to where their encounter had taken place to go and retrieve their catfish traps. And when they were there, they were able to find a series of massive tracks that measured around 20 inches long. It was then that they swore to never go fishing in that area ever again. The creature in this case was decidedly more in keeping with the traditional physical description of North America's Bigfoot, being a massive, hair-covered wild man type of beast, rather than the smaller, dwarfish Menehune. But who really knows? In a similarly strange account, a teacher from a school in the Makakilo area relayed a tale of an enormous hairy creature that was known by the locals as the Akanaka. Now, the creature was said to prowl the vicinity of an isolated rural, two-lane road that meandered through pineapple plantations from Wahiawa to Wahilula. Now, the giant ape-like beast was said to be around 8 feet tall and covered with shaggy hair. It was reported as startling more than a few drivers along this lonely stretch of road, and the locals were reportedly in constant fear of it. One startled driver claimed that a large man-like hairy beast had lurched from the underbrush to smash into their car and nearly send it tumbling end over end. Although such sightings have continued to this day, there is little in the geological history of the Hawaiian Islands that gives credence to such a monster, and it remains largely thought of as an imaginative myth. Another strange tale, in Japanese, is the obaki, which is a term often used to describe things that changes. Much like the mohina, the obaki is also a shapeshifter in Japanese folklore. After being brought to Hawaii, the term obake became commonly used for supernatural entities of all kinds, though mostly ghosts or malevolent spirits. One such spirit is described as a woman covered in moss and green mold who wanders the Wahiawa Gulch. The locals call her the Green Lady. She is mostly seen near the Wahiawa Botanical Garden, but reports have surfaced that she can also be seen at the Wahiawa Elementary School. Those who have seen her near the elementary school describe her as a woman with green, fish-like scales, jagged teeth, and hair covered in seaweed. The common backstory for the Green Lady is that there was once a woman who visited the Wahiawa Gulch with her children. While there, one of her children got lost and was never found. The woman died of heartbreak and is said to still roam the Wahiawa area, looking for her lost child. It is also said that she will take any child that she comes across. Very scary. Of course, we've talked about the goddess Pele. Now, she is referred to as beautiful, but she can also be hot-tempered. Pele often takes the form of a woman in red or an old woman with a cane in order to test the Hawaiian people. Now, visitors to the islands claim to have seen a woman in red dancing near the craters of her home, which is now known as the Kilauea National Park. Other tourists claim that an old woman would approach them asking for a cigarette, light it up with a snap of her finger, and then quickly disappear. Other stories tell of an old woman, believed to be Pele in disguise, who, knocks on the doors of strangers in the middle of the night. She will ask for a cup of tea or sometimes water, and if the person refuses to help her, death or heartbreak will fall all over their family. If the person is kind enough to fetch the old lady something to drink, she instantly disappears. But the homeowner will receive good news the following day. There is also a popular story in Hawaiian legend about Pele punishing those who are selfish and rewarding those who practice the spirit of aloha. The story goes like this. One day, Pele took the form of an old lady with a cane and decided to walk down to the nearest village. She came across a large home filled with banana trees, coconut palms, and a lush garden filled with taro. When Pele peered into the home, she saw a well-dressed family having a feast. Pele bid them aloha, which means hello in case you didn't know, and told them, well, it also means goodbye in case you didn't know that either. And she told them that she had been walking for a long time and would like something to eat. First, she asked for poi, a dish made from taro, but the family said they did not have enough to share, even though they had a garden full of taro. Pele then asked for some fish, but the family once again claimed to have very little to share. Pele then asked for some berries, but the women of the family lied, and they said they had none to share because all of the berries in their garden were green. After giving the family multiple opportunities to show kindness to a weary old lady, Pele bowed and went on her way. Pele continued her journey and came across a humble home. Upon peering through the gates, she saw a family happily enjoying the fruits of their garden. Pele bid them aloha and again asked if they had anything to eat. The family welcomed her in immediately and prepared a bowl of poi for her. Pele finished her first bowl and asked for some more. Without hesitation, the woman of the house prepared her another dish. Pele ate and ate until she was full, and not once did the family hesitate to dig into their meager supply of food. The woman of the house told her that she did not have any poi left until the next harvest, and that she was glad the old woman had enjoyed her food. Pele stood up and told the family that, because of their kindness, they would be rewarded with a fruitful harvest. Meanwhile, their stingy neighbors, lush crops, would die. Another strange legend is the legend of Morgan's Corner, which is located on the Nuanu Pali Drive, which leads into the Nuana Valley. Its name comes from a well-known doctor named Dr. James Morgan, who lived on a hairpin turn during the 1920s. Now, locals claim that the turn first became haunted in 1948 when a 68-year-old widow by the name of Teresa Wilder was viciously murdered in her home by two escaped prisoners. Her gardener, Isabella Escalante, discovered her dead body, and it wasn't long before authorities were in the hunt for her killers. Upon capture, the two fugitives confessed to killing Teresa Wilder and explained that after burglarizing a nearby home, they smelled the widow's cooking and killed her for a bit of supper. Another story from Morgan's Corner involves a girl named Brittany Lockman, who is said to have hanged herself on a tree at the end of the Nuano Road. Now, Brittany's body wasn't discovered for several days, and by the time it was, her body had completely ripped away from her neck, leaving only her head in the noose. Now, Brittany's head was never reattached to her body, even for her own burial, which locals claim is the reason her spirit still haunts the Nuanu Pali. An urban legend tied to Morgan's Corner tells of a young couple who decided to park their car under a tree one night. When they decided to leave, the car wouldn't start. The boy told his girl to stay in the car while he got some help. Throughout the night, she heard tree branches scratching the car's roof, but she soon fell asleep despite the noise. Finally, the girl was awakened in the morning by a policeman who had ordered her to get out and walk away from the car without turning around. So, she did as she was asked, but her curiosity got the best of her, and upon turning around, she saw her dead boyfriend hanging upside down from the tree. His torso was sliced open, and his fingers were scraping across the car's roof. So, as you can clearly see, Hawaii has just as many strange things going on throughout its many islands, as many other places in the world. I wonder what causes such a small place to have so many strange occurrences. Perhaps it's the remoteness of the island itself. I mean, Hawaii is literally in the middle of the world's largest ocean. If you ever make it to the Aloha State, pay attention to more than just the breathtaking scenery. You might experience something truly paranormal.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Hawaii is a very strange place, you know, just for a small set of islands in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Who knew it had so much folklore and legends? It's just bizarre. I mean, and there's way more than that. I'm probably going to be talking about some more of that on the Elite Show. Very interesting. I like those stories, you know, from different regions of the world, different spots in the, of the globe, but it's very interesting, especially when you're not from there. I know we have a lot of listeners from Hawaii, so I have never been to Hawaii myself. I know you haven't either.
I would love to go. I want to fish Hawaii. I want to kayak offshore there.
Yeah. You were sending me some videos before of, the guy was he catching like dolphin fish, right?
Yeah. Mahi.
Not like dolphins, like porpoises, but like mahi mahi.
Yeah. Mahi mahi. Yeah. And they catch some tuna. They catch, man, it just, the fishing right there just looks amazing.
The landscape, I mean, it just looks awesome, whether it's the shoreline, whether it's the mountains, the volcanoes, it all looks really cool.
But aren't we, what are we called, Howleys? Isn't that what we're called over there?
Yeah, I don't think they really care for just like white southern boys over there. But, you know, look, it wasn't even a state until like 1959.
Yeah, oh, you're definitely not allowed to go now since you're over here talking like that.
No, I want to go.
Well, they weren't even a state.
Well, they're the 50th state. That's correct.
I got something here, kind of sad news, folks. For those that don't know, Harry Dean Stanton passed away.
Oh, man.
That's right, the fellow from Christine and all of them. He just kind of grew. You know what I'm talking? He's kind of like one of those old icons that was always around. So, yeah, he passed away. I think he was in his 90s. So, I mean, go on. I remember there was one of my favorite quotes of his. He says, "I only eat so I can smoke and stay alive." And I was like, I like this guy. I really, really like this guy. Thank you to everyone that's gone on iTunes and left a review, folks. If you haven't, please, you don't even have to have an account. As far as I know, you just jump on, sign up, and do it. You can just go through anything to do it. Click on. You don't have to download it. You don't have to owe it. None of that stuff. You don't even have to write a review. Just give us 5 stars, man. It just helps. It helps keep us up in the charts. It helps us to get noticed by things. You guys, just go in there, click on it, and just said, Right, I bought a tank of gas today. I don't care what you write on there for the review. Just give me 5 stars, baby. Come on.
Yeah.
Help a man out.
What do you got planned for the rest of your week, Brad?
I have got to do a little more sample pulling and stuff, and then I have to go meet with one of my bosses, and nothing bad. I didn't get in trouble yet, but I don't think I did. Heck, I might have. I don't know. And what else am I going to do? Man, I really don't know.
I don't have anything hard. I've got a very boring week, just a typical work week. Nothing special.
I think that's kind of the way mine is, and it's just, and we've kind of warmed back up, so I don't like that. I'm ready for it to get back out of the 90s. I was enjoying the 80 degree weather, so I don't know. I think it's just a typical grind of this whole deal, and then that's pretty much it, man. I don't really have anything else.
Man, that's good. Well, don't forget, folks, if you like Expanded Perspectives, there's also Expanded Perspectives Elite, an additional show we do each week, but you have to go to the website to sign up. Just click on the Elite tab. Signing up is easy. It gets through PayPal. It's $5 a month. And what you'll get is an additional episode of Expanded Perspectives every week, along with access to the entire back catalog. So don't miss out. If you have a story or you'd like to share with me and Cam, you can email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Or you can call the show 817-945-3828. You can follow me and Cam on all forms of social media. Let's not forget about our great sponsors. Gaia is one of our sponsors, GAIA.com/expandedperspectives. Gaia is a video streaming service with over 7,000 titles over there. Some truly one-of-a-kind shows. You'll love it. If you like this show, you're going to like Gaia. So go over there. But you got to use the promo code GAIA.com/expandedperspectives. And don't forget about Dollar Shave Club. You got to go to dollarshaveclub.com/expanded and ZipRecruiter. Just go to ziprecruiter.com/expanded. Well, that's about all the time we have for this week's episode of Expanded Perspectives. I want everybody out there to give someone a hug and stay out of trouble, for God's sakes. I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all. I'm not afraid to
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.